afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's a happy August 1st, Tuesday, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Oh, Melody.
And how are you today?
Not bad. I'm noticing that we are starting the eighth month of the year. I'm just curious, have you done your Christmas shopping yet?
As a matter of fact,
See,
I have all my Christmas cards from the last year that I sent out. So, yeah, I have all. That's pretty much what I do anymore. But
The way the time flies, I mean, here it is, August. It's still in the summertime, but I haven't been over to a department store lately. But I would imagine they're already moving Christmas products in there.
Absolutely. Well, July is a big month. I can't remember which cable station is. I believe it's Hallmark, where they have Christmas in July. All month long, they do Christmas.
I thought that was in Australia. Yeah. I thought when they were on the opposite side of the globe, I thought they had Christmas in July.
They do all their Christmas, corny movies that they do and so forth. And people, women love those shows. They're just corny little feel good chick flicks made for cable TV. Hallmark is a feel good station.
I understand.
So, but if you look at who really owns Hallmark cards and so forth, I don't know if there's a connection, but I'm assuming there is. Part of the New World Order, part of the corporate multinational corporations. And anyway, that's another story for another day. We're going to get to the gold
story. Another conspiracy for another day,
Melody. Let's get to the gold story, the truth. Actually, gold is truth. Gold is up about a buck today at 1,270 off the high of 1,275. Silver's down a few pennies today, 0.12 at $16.79. Platinum was up $4 at $948, and palladium was up $8 at $894. The USDX today was a little bit higher, 0.24 at 93.06. Crude oil pressure down a buck at 49.18. And the paper markets today, some of the numbers are still ticking through, but we'll take the last ones that I received. The Dow was up 70 points at 21,959. The NASDAQ was up 10 at 63.57. The S&P was up 5 at 24.75. And that's pretty much.
So when is the Dow going to break 22?
I believe it went over briefly today, but yeah. It was approaching it. I think we had it was up there. Whether it actually went over, it certainly didn't close, but I think it was eyeing it very closely if it didn't go over. But,
I think that's all that's supporting this right now. People just, it's going to do 22,000. I don't know. I don't know what to, it's one of those things. You try to make sense of some of these things, and I don't know.
Well, it is all based on these corporate earnings that are coming out. They've been very strong, but, we have a weaker dollar, and that makes a difference. I think this is why we're seeing all these stronger earnings that are coming out. You have HSBC that just released, I believe it was yesterday, they're looking to purchase their shares, 2.2 billion dollars worth, with a total of overall buybacks of $5 billion.
Well, that's what's holding the price.
That's up. What's holding up the shares.
Yeah, I know.
And you have all these multinational.
It's like salting the mine. If I did that, if I was a miner and I get a shotgun loaded up with some gold billets and blasted into the walls of the mine, so it looks like there's gold in there. It's called salting the mine. In order to sell the mine, which really doesn't have any gold, to some unsuspecting, fool. When the corporations, when they are buying their own shares, to some degree, they're salting the mine. Mm-hmm. If I did it myself with a real gold mine, it would be fraud. if the corporations do it and make their shares go higher. It's not fraud. They apparently it's not fraud, but I'm wondering why not. How much difference is there between salting a mine and buying your own shares in order to make them go up?
I mean, last year it was reported the S&P had five companies that pushed the S&P to the levels that it reached. Oh, that's good. We're in a good strong economy, Hey, let's and consumer spending that lost momentum in June, and a drop in dividend payments caused incomes to stagnate. So, where's a 70% spending? 70% of the economy is spending. So, it's a robust economy. Really? Come on, folks. You know, it's going to get less help. What do you think this next quarter is going to be? Let them enjoy this second quarter, because it's not going to be a nice third and fourth. Didn't have a nice first. So let them enjoy their little third quarter, because I guarantee you, you'll see things change as we go into the holiday seasons. June marked a third straight month of slowing nominal spending. And again, it shows off household outlays, which account for about 70% of the economy, is going to come short of matching this pace. Incomes were little changed in June due to a 3% drop in dividend payments following a 4.8% surge a month earlier. Here you have stock markets hitting all-time highs, and we had a 3% drop in dividend payments. Why would you do that if corporate earnings are so hot? You know, you'd think it'd be going up. Yeah, there was almost a 5% surge a month before. But if things were as hot as they say they are, you wouldn't have this huge spread between a 3% and 4.8%. You know, a 3% drop and a 4.8% surge, that's a huge spread. And so, again, it doesn't seem like things are what they're telling us they are. And everybody forgets, hey, let's go back to May. Employers added a lousy 138,000 jobs. Well, that was a little disappointing. That's May. We're just ending July. We'll see what the numbers are this Friday. But, I bet there'll be killer numbers come Friday.
I think,
yeah.
You know, when people talk about the economy recovering, and especially the global economy recovering, I think the best index out there to indicate whether it is or it ain't is the Baltic Dry Index, which measures the amount of shipping on a global basis. And that tells us how much cargo.
Those are commodity. That's commodity.
Just the same. According to the graph I'm looking at right now, I just brought this up while we're talking. We're down in the 600 range, and it would peaked. Back in 2008, it was up about 1,200, or about half of what it was back before the onset of the Great Recession. That's evidence to me that anyone who says that the global economy has improved, it may have stabilized, I'll give you that. It may not have crashed and burned. Yeah, that's true. But improved? I don't know. I just don't see that. And I mean, from my perspective, the Baltic Dry Index is perhaps one of the best indexes to see what's really going on in global trade. And thereby, is a global recovery really here? Is it is or is it ain't?
Well, I think that's a good report, too. But I think there's a lot to show us what's going on. I mean, all people have to do is take a look around. I mean, we feel... You know, we're told that things are great. We're told with the stock markets that the things are going well. But take a peek around. Yeah. Does it look? Does it feel?
Yesterday, half the people in the country of a prime working age can't get a job because they can't pass a drug test. That's a bad sign. It's evidence that there is a terrible psychological problem in this country right now. And there is something that people are not addressing, and we're going to have to deal with it. I guarantee we're going to have to deal with it. Somebody's going to have to do something, and I don't have a solution to the problem, and it's just going to be enough to, well, you people shouldn't be taking drugs, you see. Yeah, well, their lives are not as much fun as, they would like or expect, and they are therefore taking drugs to kind of get through the depression, but it indicates there's a problem. There are fundamental problems here, and they're not going to be concealed by a 22,000 Dow. That won't be enough to get people to stop doing drugs, or at least the 50% that are self-medicating.
People talk about they want to bring back the $2 trillion, with all this tax reform and so forth. Mnuchin made the announcement that there'll be some sort of tax reform within a year. Well, that means it's going into next year. One year within a year is 2018. Talking about... And that's not going to help much. You have $2 trillion sitting overseas they want to bring back, and the $2 trillion will be done just what HSBC is doing, buying back their shares. That's what will happen. So when they talk about, higher stock prices, maybe, but that doesn't mean that your dollar is going to be purchasing and have the same value purchase, the same purchase power as it does today. And
I think that's a big story. And again, I got an article here from CNBC, and it says, when the dollar is weak, here's the sector that wins. We talked about this yesterday, and the idea, my observation, that the dollar index has been falling steadily since the first of this year, and nobody's said much about it. But we talked about
because
it yesterday
it's a positive.
A little bit. I don't think they've even noticed it in a meaningful sense. It hasn't had much publicity. I'm sure people in positions of power and risk that are...
they're not shaking in their boots yet. But
not yet. But it says here the dollar index just closed its fifth straight month of losses, the longest monthly losing streak since 2011. However, Claude Morgenlander of Washington Crossing Advisors say, when I look to the next 12 months, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Federal Reserve raise interest rates two or three times, as well as start to slowly reduce their balance sheet. That should bring more life or breathe some air into the U.S. dollar. And he was on CNBC's Trading Nations. Wouldn't be surprised if... he wouldn't be such a dollar bear at this point. He's optimistic. He thinks the dollar's going up. Well, when we talk about people buying stock, right, in their own corporation, one of the things the Federal Reserve wants to do is reduce its balance sheet, which includes stock, includes bonds, some stocks. I wonder how many of the corporations whose stock was purchased as a toxic asset by the Federal Reserve, how many of those corporations are now borrowing money at low interest rates so they can buy their stock back from the Federal Reserve?
Bankers.
I don't think anybody is. I don't think they want the toxic assets. And this is the problem that the Fed is going to have with their toxic assets. They'd say, oh, we're going to unwind our $4.5 trillion. They're going to start selling this stuff and find out they can only get maybe 50 cents on a dollar, and maybe not even that much, and meaning that they don't have $4.5 trillion on their balance sheet. Maybe they've only got $3 trillion, $2.5 trillion. We don't know, but I think that's the way this is going to work out, and I don't think they want to face that reality. But my other point is, my main point is that corporations who could buy their stocks back don't want to buy their stocks back if they're worthless. We see that the corporations are buying their stocks back, pushing the prices higher on the Dow Jones. I get that. But they're not going to buy their toxic assets back. And so we'll watch and see. In any case,
most of these, like Bank of America,
this is becoming a topic. This dollar index. How far can the dollar fall before people really pay attention, Melody? Do you have an opinion?
I believe it has to, break 90, and it has to
fall. I think
so. It has to break with something else going on too. If it's a gradual drop, it's going to, we're going to have to see some sort of increase in inflation. That's when inflation starts rising and they start addressing the inflation rate. That's that's when the drop in the dollar will mean something. Well, so again, if you look at Bank of America, they still have their toxic assets, a lot of those homes on their books. You know, they sold a lot, they rearranged just to make it show like it's healthy and they can pass the tests that the Federal Reserve and governments give them, the stress tests, so they can pass that. Most of them don't pass it. They have to rearrange things, so they do, but they never release that information, or it's just a little tiny little byline for, you know, unless you're looking for it, you're not going to see it. I mean, it really is a joke. And it was funny, Financial Times had an article today. We'll talk about it when we come back from the break, too. We might be able to get it in. But they talk about, you know, it really doesn't matter if government repeals Dodd-Frank. You know, the reality is that regulators have been flouting that law for years, and now the shadow financial markets are frothing. I mean, the article is written like a sequel to the financial crisis of 2008, and that they have created a new collateralized loan obligation. You know, it's the cousin to the collateralized debt obligation. So they changed debt to loan, and they just continued to create these bundled packages. In May, there were two deals of more than $1 billion each, and experts estimate that $75 billion worth are coming this year. Antares Capital recently closed a $2.1 billion CLO, the largest in the U.S. since 2006 and the third largest in history. Although most of the loans underlying these deals are of junk status, more than half the new debt is rated AAA. Sound familiar?
Yeah, it does.
So they've gotten around all of these...
Sounds like Illinois.
Exactly. You know, these credit ratings, they're disconnected from reality. Mm-hmm. And regulators are ignoring the growth. These things, these huge CLOs, they seem harmless at first, but the profit grows. They become more profitable, and you know, the same thing is going to happen. It's ignored until it's too late. Dodd-Frank was supposed to stop these credit rating ploys, but the SEC has permitted the agencies to dodge the law. You know, this
like
is
I've
the
been
problem.
Saying, like I've been we saying have, for a month or more now, I'm beginning to suspect that they have to go deeper into debt. The debt-based monetary system, I suspect, can't prove it, but I suspect it requires they go deeper into debt, and that is consistent with what we're seeing. We're also going to see or hear some commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. We will find you acting on your best behavior.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Bethann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Bethann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on financial survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just wanted to finish up on this when we're talking about the Dodd-Frank. Had imposed liabilities on agencies for false ratings, and the SEC exempted them. Just likewise, Congress barred the agencies from getting inside information about issuers they rate, but the SEC permitted that too. And as these obligations grow, the cracks are beginning to spread again together, just like they did before. It's the same old thing. The credit rating agencies, particularly Moody's and the S&P, the central actors in this story, are the same as they were before. And they use computer programs they use to assign AAA ratings, and that program is still flawed. And they're not made. They tried to correct it, and everyone just ignores it because they need to keep the system, the Wall Street, going. You have experts out there that'll say, oh, it's different this time. But yet there was a managing director of Madison Capital Funding, a subsidiary of New York Life. They said the appetite for these CLOs is ferocious. Pension funds, insurance companies, university endowments are demanding both safety and high returns. And these obligations seem to offer both. But yet we just said that the ratings are false. It's rigged, and you're looking at pension funds, they're all underfunded. Insurance companies, they're all about ready to go belly up. University endowments, just wait till these kids begin to default on their tuition. And it's this whole system is so tied. There's so much corruption. There is so much mistruths.
I think the people at the top are just desperate. When they say there is a ferocious appetite for collateralized loan obligations, I mean, if there's a ferocious appetite out there, it's for fairy tales.
Fairy tales.
Yeah, that's what they're hungry for. Tell me lies, tell me lies, tell me sweet, sweet lies. And the government's obliging says, we have lies for you, ladies and gentlemen. And you're going to leave this place with a smile. You'll have a smile on your face when you leave today. Yeah, but what are you smiling about? No, and they are just pumping smoke and running mirrors and pumping sunshine and the rest of that sort of thing. And I look at it and I say, look, this is not rational. I mean, there's an appetite for fairy tales. I give you that. But appetite for truth? That's not obvious.
People have such short memories, Al.
I know.
That they can run the same program over and over again.
No, they'll do it again in a couple of years. We've had collateral debt obligations, those failed. Collateral loan obligations, those failed. They'll have a new collateralized something, obligations. We'll just put a new, we'll give it a new name, and everybody, it's new and improved. No, it's not. It's the same snake oil they've been selling to the public for, I have no idea how long it's been going on. You know, that old thing where you can fool some of the people all the time and all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. But you can come pretty close, all right? You can just about get them all fooled at the same time. Yay, it's the Disneyland for adults. That's what Wall Street has become to some degree. You know, let's go ride on, I don't know, you know, the...
I get it. It is. And yet, people are so easily...
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
As long as that stock market prices, it puts them in the deer in the headlight and they refuse to act on information that they probably know is not 100% truthful, and they might lose a lot of money, but yet, hey, as long as it's up there, I'm riding it, man. I'm riding it till the end. And it's kind of like that wave in the surfer. You know, sure. He wants to ride the biggest wave that comes in, but most of the time, the large majority of them will crash and burn. And this is the same thing. We always think, people think markets are always going to go higher, and they get caught up in that, and they just don't see the train coming at them. What always amazed me, Al, is I would have people that are looking to transfer funds into a precious metals IRA. And they'll ask questions, well, if I pull it out of this one account, I'm going to be penalized 30%, even though I know eventually I'm going to lose 70%. I just can't pay that 30% now. Does that make any sense?
Well, it's...
Does that make any sense? You're not, you know you're going to lose 70%, but you don't want to rearrange your portfolio now to protect you. And yeah, it might cost you, you know, 30% in penalties and taxes, maybe less.
You know, that
it just never...
That indicates someone, to my mind, who does his investing in order to shore up his ego. All right? Look, I've invested, and I've got X number of dollars, and I'm not going to do anything and risk knocking it down 30%, because then I'll look like an idiot to my friends and even to myself. And I'm willing to avoid going down 30% now, to, or even though I know it'll mean 70% later, I still don't want to admit right now that I'm foolish. And there's a certain vanity in this. This isn't about investing. This is about maintaining an appearance and a sense of self-esteem. I still have X number of dollars in my investment. I can't take that 30% hit. And I'm not even being critical per se. I'm just making an observation. I mean, people, you know, it's the way we kind of think about things. We are all tempted by that. We don't want to admit that we've lost money. All right? And even if it's pretty clear we'll lose money later, it'll be a couple of years from now, but I'm not going to lose a fraction of that now. It's human nature to do that. It's understandable and the rest of it. But I think that if you are going to be a real investor, you got to look at fundamentals in the sense that Warren Buffett looks at them, I believe. I suspect he does. I don't know exactly what Buffett does. But he must be sufficiently astute where he says, I'm going to invest in that. You know, he made the comment at one point where he says, don't invest in anything that you wouldn't be willing to essentially just buy it now and don't look at it again for 10 years. And if you buy it now, if you're willing to buy it now and then just put it off in a box and forget it for 10 years, that's investing.
That's because he doesn't want anybody to sell his shares. That's why he says that. Yeah, out.
Whatever his, he may have an ulterior motive.
He's
but
not
it
the
indicates
nice...
a mindset. It indicates a mindset where he's looking for the long run, and that means he's not concerned about whether he wins or loses right now.
But
all right,
you know
if the
what,
price
Al?
Goes up 30%, goes down 30%, not a concern. Exactly the concern for Mr. Buffett is, what's the price going to be 5 years from now? What's it going to be 10 years from now? That's what he's looking for.
You know, I wonder when the date when he made that statement, because I think the world has changed so much. I can remember dealing and talking to people back in the 80s, and because I worked at a bank. I was an officer of a bank and so forth, and talking to people, and you know, they could buy, the widows would inherit IBM shares. They lived on that, and you didn't trade your shares. I mean, it was a different time. You didn't have what you have today. So I'm not sure that even applies today, what he says. Then it did, because people did hold on to their shares.
No, I think he's right for all time. Although the world may have changed, I think that investing principle
when you
is
have
still
robo
solid.
Trade when you have robo trading and you have if you have trends and you have these fads and you have things that can drop, they certainly have proved it when the stock market, when the Dow went to 6,000, here it is 22,000. You know, that in people's mind,
well, you
they
can't,
probably won't
you know,
worry
it's one
about
of those things.
Papers,
it's hard so. To argue with success.
Yeah.
I mean, they can point to a track record and say, look, this is what's happened. Okay, I can understand that. I get that. Man's trying to sell me stock or whatever, invest in. Okay, I get this is what happened. I see what's happened on the Dow. I get that. Can you tell me why? Because if you could tell me why it went up based on price, earnings, something, can you tell me why it went up? Because if you can, then I can make a calculation of whether it's going to continue to go up. And they're essentially saying, no, we can't tell you why it went up. We can just tell you it did. And you just need to have faith and get your money in the market now because it's going to go up even higher. Well, maybe it is, but what is the reason for that? You know, and it does not appear to be earnings, for example. It doesn't appear to be profits. It appears to be that this thing is rigged, influenced, you know, twisted. And again, it's like betting on a horse that they've given a bunch of amphetamine to. Well, it might win this race, but if you keep betting on that same horse and they keep giving it amphetamine, you're going to see that horse die in the middle of one of the races. He's going to run so far, so fast, and all of a sudden, he's just going to fall to the ground and the jockey's going to get thrown off in the brush and whatever. And you can just about bet it's going to happen. They keep feeding the horse amphetamine. And this market, I don't think anyone is out there who seriously believes this market can be sustained without external stimulus coming from the Federal Reserve and or the federal government. As long as they keep creating low interest rates where you can borrow money cheaply, mm-hmm. and use it to buy your stock, okay, we can keep on buying stock. Market can keep on going up, but is that what makes a corporation valuable? Or is that what makes a corporation appear to be valuable? And it seems to me that all we're dealing with are appearances. You know, the parable about the emperor is buying invisible clothes. We're in that right now. Oh, look, the emperor, the Dow Jones. Look, it's 22,000. Yeah. So somebody comes along and says, look, that guy doesn't have any clothes on. And then everybody says, oh my gosh, why didn't someone tell us? The information's been available for a long time. It's not really news. It's the sort of thing. And yet, why didn't people listen? Why don't they listen?
I can't tell you how many times I hear, oh, the stock market's up, but my portfolio is kind of, it's not doing as much as all the hoopla that you hear about the Dow reaching 22,000 and the NASDAQ hitting highs along with the S&P. And again, if you don't have the right shares, hey, in 2016, five companies in the S&P? Really? If you didn't have that, well, you know, how well did you do?
That's exactly right.
And even though you're doing well, you have to remember, no matter, as long as we're on that fiat currency, our dollars are going to become less and less valuable. Your purchasing power decreases. That's why, hey, if you're making profits in your investment portfolio, that's fantastic. Protect it. Get it insured. Pull your profits out. And that's what people don't do. You just sit there and ride your profits until it reverses and then you end up losing it. Then you want to stay in there hoping to recapture some of those losses. And then it goes down even more, but you're going to stay in there because you just know it's going to go back up and then you'll pull it out. Well, then it goes a little lower. It's just human nature. We know that. That's what happens. It happens time and time again. So if you're making profits, pull it out. Invest it. Put it into gold and silver. That's what people do when you go to Las Vegas. And the Wall Street's not any different than Las Vegas. You're gambling. So if you're sitting at a table and you're gambling, some people will ride it all the way and lose everything. Happens a lot. It's how they keep the lights on. They're betting on it. They don't want to pay you. They know how you're going to behave. It's you that don't. Yep. And so again, pull the profit out, put it into something secure, convert those dollars into something that's real, and put it into gold and silver. Gold is the only true store of value. That isn't going to change. Gold has no claim of debt against it. That isn't going to change.
J.P. Morgan. Apparently, I believe he's the one who said gold is money and nothing else. He got that. Now, a lot of people would say that's crazy talk, especially today. But he was saying gold is money when you have everything else as currency, right? Everything else is currency, and there's a difference. Gold is a payment. Currency is a promise to pay.
Bankers know it.
Just IOUs. That's all it is for the currency. And if you want to accept IOUs and bet your retirement and your savings and your wealth on other people's IOUs, that's your business. But if you're prudent, sensible, be a good idea to get a payment rather than a promise to pay. Get a payment. Gold, gold, gold.
Anyway, since we're talking about gold, I'm going to carry through with my special from, I started it last week. The prices did increase by $5 today, as we've seen buying pick up with the gold prices. $675 for Mint State 62, $10 Liberty gold pieces. Now, there is, if the equivalent, if this is a little confusing to say, so I hope it seems everyone is getting it, because you're all buying a lot of 62 $10 Liberty gold pieces, so it must be coming across the radio fairly good. So, but it can be confusing. If you purchase two Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold pieces, the gold content is the same as a 20. And the fractional pieces usually will sell more than what the larger counterpart will. So right now, these 62 $10 Liberty gold pieces are actually $20 less than what a $20 gold piece would be. So a terrific value there. And if you compare the overall price with a 1 ounce gold American coin, which is 1 ounce, the $10 Liberties are just a fraction less, you're paying just a little bit more than you would for that 1 ounce American Gold Eagle. So I wanted to explain that so you really understood the value of this coin at this particular price. $675. It does include, if you purchase two or more, will include your shipping costs. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com.
We're going to come back. We're going to take a break here for some commercials, and we'll be back in just a moment. When we do return, we're going to talk about what happened to some Facebook researchers when they started fooling around with artificial intelligence with their computers. Came up with a little surprise. We'll be back in just a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at dgscoins.com. That's dgscoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and I mentioned that we were going to come back with an article. This is from something called Collective Evolution. Never heard of it before. The headline is Facebook.
Are you sure it's not fake news, Al?
No, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it's. I'm pretty sure this is legit. Too bizarre. It's too bizarre to be fake, Melody. It says Facebook researchers shut down artificial intelligence that created its own language. I mean, this is like some, this is like a scene out of the Terminator series. Yeah, they, Facebook has recently developed a new artificial intelligence, and it has since created its own language using code words to communicate more efficiently. Researchers promptly shut the system down over concerns that they might lose control over the artificial intelligence. All right? Now, they've got... At my first thought on reading this much of it, I thought, how did they know that if they've shut this down, they caught one language? How do they know there's not a second one out there? Or a third or a tenth? Right? The computers are talking to themselves without speaking in the language of the programmers and without speaking in English. They are talking to themselves in their own language. But it goes on and said, this isn't the first time artificial intelligence entities have diverged from their training in the English language to develop their own more efficient language. As Fast Company Design reports, the researchers noticed that the bots, that would be the artificial intelligence entities, had completely given up on English. But their advanced system is actually capable of negotiating with other artificial intelligence agents. Right? By agents, they mean computers. Together, they can decide how to proceed with whatever they're working on. They can decide. The computers can decide. Huh? First, the phrases being used seemed unintelligible, but on further observation, I mean, it's like the computers were speaking in pig Latin. And you can't, we're going to assume that it was just an oddity, that they spoke in a way that was unintelligible. But you can also sit back there if you have you like conspiracy theories. How about the computers were intentionally speaking in an unintelligible language in order to keep the people from listening? Now, I don't believe that's happening, but it's one of those things. This is one of these. This is out of a science fiction movie, but it's apparently happening. But on further observation, researchers found that they represented the tasks at hand, meaning that the language they were using represented the tasks at hand. It seems the artificial intelligence entities discovered that English phrases weren't required. Discovered that English phrases weren't required for the specific scenario. Nobody taught them this. They figured this out for themselves. Modern artificial intelligence entities operate on a reward principle where they expect that by following a course of action, they will receive a benefit. But in this scenario, for example, there was no reward for continuing to use English. So the computers decided to use a more efficient way of communicating instead. Well, if they're going to use this reward system and nobody specifically said you get a reward for continuing to speak in English, I'm wondering, are they making these computers with a reward to keep human beings around? Or is there a reward or is there no reward for keeping us around? And if there's not, what happens if the artificial intelligence robots decide the economy would run more efficiently without any people? If they can decide we can make things more efficient without the English language, can they decide we can make it more efficient without people who speak English? According to Fastco Designs, agents will drift off understandable language and invent code words for themselves. Other artificial intelligence developers have noticed a similar use of shorthands to simplify communication. The computers are speaking in code. They're devising their own language. Well, they say it's unclear. It says if AI, artificial intelligence, continues to create their own languages, developers may have problems creating and adopting new neural networks. May have problems when the computer starts speaking in their own language. I'd say we're going to see a lot of problems. But they say if AI continues to create their own languages, developers may have problems creating and adopting new neural networks. But it's unclear whether this would allow the machines to actually overrule their operators. Now, this is another one of those things. It makes me just kind of wince, laugh and wince at the same time. It's unclear whether these circumstances would allow machines to actually overrule their operators. So let's try it. What the heck? We don't know for a fact that the machines are going to overrule their operators. So let's give it a shot, Melody. These new developments, however, allow artificial intelligence to work more efficiently and can benefit research terms in the long run if they put in the work, and can benefit research teams, in the long run if they, that's the research teams, put in the work to learn the new AI-created shorthand and stay up to date with new methods of communication. It is not up to the machines to learn our language. It is now going to be up to us to learn the machine's language. That's what they're saying here. Well, who is the master and who is the servant? If I have to learn the machine's language, all right, it seems to me that the machine is the boss. So I don't know. Pardon me?
Don't we do that already?
Kind of. I guess maybe we do, but not to the same extent they're talking about here. And again, their reaction to this whole thing is they unplug the computers. That's interesting all by itself, because it indicates that they couldn't simply go on and take control of start typing code into the keyboard and regain control of the computers. They had to pull the plugs on them in order to shut this creation of a language down. I don't know what to tell you about any of this, folks, other than we live in interesting times. You know, everybody's heard it and said it and whatever, but my gosh, it really is so. We live in interesting times, and the computers are starting to create their own language. And it won't be a problem as long as we learn to speak whatever the computers are speaking. And they're speaking at the speed of light? Will we be able to keep up, Melody?
Did you get that, Al? Did you get that?
What? No, I did not.
That was the speed of light. I just did computer talk.
Okay, well,
Did you get the joke?
I get it now. Uh-huh, I get it now, yes.
All right.
It was a good one. I'll be slapping my knee here, perhaps, after the program is over, but we'll get...
It tickled me.
I understand.
Here's something that isn't tickling. We were going to talk about something else, and I was looking up something because I visited my uncle. He's 85. He was in the Korean War, and he told me, he says, when he came out of the Korean War, they told him that they would be fighting war differently. And it was in reference to computers. And I mean, I do believe computers was all designed and controlled by, you know, military or military service, you know. So I just thought it was a little interesting, but it kind of relates to, you know, how far they're probably much further along in the abilities of what a computer do than any of us can even imagine. So if they've been working on computers since, you know, the 50s, and heck, the fax was created back in, you know, the 20s, so for war. So,
we talked about that in the last day or two about the book African Genesis and its theory, its thesis back in the 1960s, I think it was published in 1961, is that people at the time, anthropologists thought we're all animals, but they thought we were the unique animal because we were the tool-making animal. People were the only animals that made tools. Mm-hmm. Well, they found out since that's not true, but Robert Ardrey, his contention was, no, it wasn't about tools. The focus of civilization and advancing research and whatever is about making weapons. And I think he's exactly right.
And speaking about...
I think it still is. And which spills off over time, and the computers come to us, but first we make computers for weapons, and later on we'll let the public have them.
And speaking of weapons, today Lindsey Graham was interviewed by Matt Lauer. I just saw this today, and he says Mr. Trump told him, this is Lindsey Graham, that he will bomb North Korea if it keeps testing missiles. If thousands die, they're going to die over there. So he says Trump is willing to go to war with North Korea to stop it from being able to hit the American mainland with a nuclear weapon. And these are quotes from Lindsey Graham. There is a military option to destroy North Korea's North nuclear program and North Korea itself. And this is what he told Matt Lauer. He's not going to allow, this is President Trump, the ability of this madman to have a missile that could hit America. If there's going to be a war to stop him, it will be over there. If thousands die, they're going to die over there. They're not going to die over here, and he's told me that to my face. And again, that's Graham talking. Graham's press office confirmed that the senator was, in fact, reciting the details of a conversation he had with the president. According to Graham, the president doesn't want a war, but would be willing to start one that would kill millions of people in the region if it came down to it. Graham went even further later in the interview, saying the war between the United States and North Korea was inevitable. Under this president, unless North Korea stops testing intercontinental ballistic missiles. These missiles, Graham says, are an unacceptable threat to the American homeland, so Trump would go to war to stop them. Lauer comes on and says, are you saying it's okay to use a military option that immediately endangers the lives of millions of people in that region? Graham says, I'm saying it's inevitable unless North Korea changes, because you're making our president pick between the regional stability and homeland security. He's having to make a choice that no president has wanted to make. They've kicked the can down the road for 20 years. There's nowhere else to kick it. There will be a war with North Korea over their missile program if they continue to try to hit America with the ICBM. He's told me that, and I believe him. So the article goes on and says, we don't know if Graham is accurately conveying what the president's saying, but
I can't imagine. This is a situation where Kim Il-sung has put the president in an untenable position.
Mm-hmm.
He can't sit back and wait. The guy says, look, I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to shoot you. He keeps warning you, and you finally say, hey, we got to do something in order to not be shot. Insofar as he's not just saying, I'm going to shoot you, he's developing more missiles, he's developing his nuclear warheads, he's trying to put this together where he really can shoot us. What are you going to do? Sit around until you got a bullet in your heart or in your head, and then you can shoot back? The Kim Il-sung is essentially Kim Jong-un. Melody.
That's that AI talk.
Yes, that's probably right. But in any case, the premier or the president of North Korea, he's made this mess. He keeps on saying, we're going to build this bomb so we can get you guys.
And I saw a
quote.
Well,
what does he expect we're going to do? Let him wipe out Seattle?
I saw a quote from, I believe it was an ambassador to China, and he says he doesn't know why he's pushing it. And he won't go all the way because he knows if he does, he's going to be wiped out. Which he says the guy's not nuts. He's not insane. But yet his actions certainly show something totally different. So,
well, he belongs in the mixed martial arts. He should be fighting Floyd Money Mayweather or something like that and trying to boost a wide world of wrestling or something like that, where they encourage people to mouth off and make outrageous claims. But in real life, it's not your best choice. You know, you can't just keep on making these bizarre claims and expect that everyone's going to say, oh, that's all right. He doesn't really mean it. He's not really going to bomb. Look, guy acts like he's nuts. He may not be. Guy might be, you know, brilliant. I don't know. But he's not, even if he's brilliant in a technical way, he's not very smart. He's putting his whole nation, his whole people in peril. And the people themselves are liable to some degree allowing him to be their ruler.
We've gotten to this.
They ask for it. They're asking for trouble.
This is like the game of chicken now. It's like the game of chicken.
I don't think you can play that easily.
Do you know what the game of chicken is, Al? Fred?
I know what the game of chicken is, Melody.
Right? You do?
Yes. You get two cars, two planes, whatever, headed right at each other, and you wait to see which one veers off to the right or the left, and that's the chicken. And if they don't, and if no one veers off, if he veers off, you say, ah, ha, ha, you're a chicken. And if you don't veer off, you're dead. So you have a choice between being mocked and being embalmed. That's a choice when you get into a game of chicken. We're out of time. We want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.